had my wife Rebecca, and Naomi and Natalie are here as well. And the girls, I know most of you have met my family before, but the girls are dressed alike, and they are identical twins, so it can be hard to tell who's who. They'll tell you if you ask, but the one with longer hair is Naomi, and shorter hair is Natalie, if that helps. It didn't used to help me either way, but now I can tell them apart a little bit easier these days as they get older. As you saw, I want to give you a few things to pray for us real quick, and then I'm going to ask my wife to come, and we'll sing before the message. I'd like to pray, first of all, for Paul. You saw him when we started the pictures of the work there. Paul's a young man who came to us about 6 years ago, and it's funny, he came on a Wednesday night, and we didn't have any, there was no one at church except my mother-in-law. She happened to be there visiting us, and Paul walks in, and one of the first things he tells me is, "I want to be a missionary to China." And I was thinking, okay, I don't even know you, but you want to be a missionary to China, that's good. Anyways, Paul, he had a good testimony of salvation. He came from a Presbyterian background, but he got baptized, and he went to Bible college, and he's been back with us since last January. Last November. He's been a great encouragement for us and the work there, and he's in charge of the work right now. And I just ask you to pray for him as God's doing some things in his life, and Paul's praying about which direction to go. He's open to planting new churches there in Cusco with us, or as well as he's still open and still feels called to China. So I'd ask you to pray for that as well. I told him, I said, well, you be here for this next 6 months while we're gone, and then we'll talk about it when I get back. And so pray for that, and then pray for the work, Faith Baptist Church. We're really excited about what God's been doing. When we came in 2015 on our last furlough, we just had gotten a core group, and so that we've worked at, when we got back, at just deepening those relationships with the families. And then, of course, reaching out more into our community. And so the Lord's just blessed, and I'd ask you to just continue to pray that we can help this church get independent, especially economically. So the Lord's blessed. We have men who can teach and who can preach. We just need to get the church on its own two feet economically. And so pray for that as we go forward. And then I'd ask you to pray for our land project that you saw there at the end. I know a lot of people hear the $200,000 and they think, why in the world would you need $200,000 in a third world country like Peru? But because of our area and the stableness of Peru over the years, over this past decade, land prices have just skyrocketed. And so we're looking, as I said in the video, $500 to $1,000 a square meter. A square meter is about 10 square feet. So if you think, it really is crazy, crazy ridiculous, $500 to $1,000 for each 10 square feet. So please make that a matter of prayer. We serve a God who's able to do everything and anything. And so we just ask you to pray that he would open doors. We're open to whether it's a property that's has an existing building that we can make suit our needs, or just a blank slate of property. But as I said, we're base price for a lot, the size lot that we need would be around $150,000. And then for us to be able to build a first floor would be about $50,000 a floor. So Just please make that a matter of prayer as well, that Lord would just open up some doors there and provide for that. And then one more thing I'd ask you to pray for us is a new ministry that we're looking at starting when we get back, called Operation Chosky. That's C-H-A-S-K-I, Chosky. So the Choskys were basically Inca messengers. The Incas had 24,000 miles of trail across their empire, and they sent the Choskys through the empire to deliver their message. And so we're calling it Operation Choskey because we're looking to come alongside pastors in the rural areas outside of Cusco and leaders as well, and teach them and train them to carry God's message across Peru and other countries in Latin America and the world. And so there's, just to give you a little background, in the rural areas outside of Cusco, in the province, they speak Quechua. Quechua is the heart language of a lot of people in our area of Cusco, but especially up farther in the mountains. Quechua is completely different from Spanish. So there's three official languages in Peru. One is Spanish, of course, and then there's Quechua and Aymara, and those are two Indian languages. Quechua is what they think the Incas spoke. But anyways, up here where we're going to be teaching, they speak Quechua. And so I don't speak Quechua, and I don't feel called to learn another language. You know, for me, Spanish was good enough, hard enough. But the men in our church do speak Quechua, and one of the men will be working alongside Esteban, you saw him in the video, to come alongside these pastors and churches, because, as I was saying, there's a vacuum that's created because Cusco, our city, is a city of around 500,000 people. But we also live in the state of Cusco, which has around a million people and population. So the young people have to come to our city to learn, basically, especially higher education. And so after spending 6 or 7 years getting a degree in Cusco, they don't want to return to their hometown, where there might not be electric, water, internet, the conveniences that they've gotten used to. So it creates a vacuum there in the rural area, especially there aren't young people staying. And the pastors that are there are farmers who have never had the luxury to be able to leave their farms and other things to be able to learn, whether it be an institute or other things from God's Word. And so what we're wanting to do is come alongside and help these pastors, help these leaders, and teach them sound Bible doctrine and then practical things as well about the ministry and their families and other things. They want to be taught. They have a hunger, but they can't leave and come into the city. And so we're looking to go to them every 3 months and come alongside and help them with modular classes. So pray for that. We're excited about starting that and excited about being able to help edify brothers and sisters in Christ and by God's grace, helping them to be able to further plant churches in their areas as well. And so please make that a matter of prayer. So four main things when you have your prayer time. If you remember, pray for a young man named Paul. Pray for Faith Baptist Church. Pray for our land project. And then pray for Operation Chosky. So if you can't remember Chosky, just the Lord will know it. So you just say, hey, pray for that ministry. They're wanting to start there. If you didn't get a prayer card, of course, be sure and pick one of those up, and you can visit our website. We try to put our updates on there once a month, and then if you want to watch the video again, it's on there. You can watch the video from there as well. I'm going to have my wife, Rebecca, come up real quick, If you'd like, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. We'll be over in Acts chapter 13. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. All right, well, let's get into God's Word here this morning. Acts chapter number 13. Acts 13. And I just want to read three verses to start out here. Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this morning that we can be here to worship you. And Lord, just thank you for the Sunday school hour and what we were able to learn there. And I do pray, Lord, that you be with this time in your word, that your name would be honored and glorified, that your word would accomplish the task that you have for it. And Lord, just ask that you would continue to allow us to worship you through your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, just for the next few minutes, I want us to look at some characteristics of a mission-minded church. Characteristics of a mission-minded church. You know, as long as I've known you all, you have been a very mission-minded church from the first time we ever were able to visit here. You know, I could tell the heart that you all had for missions. And this morning, I just want to give us a few things that maybe to encourage us to continue along that path and continue that mission-mindedness. You know, too often, I believe in our churches, we compartmentalize missions to a time of the year where we you know, where we bring missionaries in and we have mission conferences, or we compartmentalize it to a time in our day where we're going to, or in our week where we might say we're going to go out and knock on doors, or we're going to go visit with our pastor, or we're going to make other visits, or go talk to a neighbor or a friend. But really, we all know that missions and mission-mindedness is part of our lives as Christians. It's just our everyday walk and talk. It's who we are as Christians. We're sent out, and we're called to go, and so we're called to live on mission as Christians. There's not one day where we decide, okay, you know, today I'm not going to be a Christian. Of course not. No, we know that as believers, that is something who we are, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's missions is everyday believers living out their faith each and every day. And, you know, I think that's something that we all know, but with the busyness of life, a lot of times, we get so caught up in with the routine of life and everything else that we have to do, that we kind of forget, oh yeah, I'm on mission. I'm not just a Christian when I'm at church or when I'm with my pastor or with other fellow believers. I'm a Christian every day, every minute, every second, every hour of every day. And so therefore, I need to show that in the life that I live. Now, there's a base to the characteristics we're going to look at this morning, and it's compassion. So as we go forward looking at these characteristics, remember that it's all based on the compassion that we have, not only in our local churches, but for the compassion that we have for souls individually. You know, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And so that love one to another obviously speaks to our congregations in our churches. But our love shouldn't just be to one another. The world around us should see that same love that we have for one another. And of course, you know, I know that our world, that's one of the first thing the world around us will point out. They'll say, well, you're a Christian, so you should love. And of course, our world has a different meaning for that. They've twisted and turn that and say, okay, well, you should love me. You should basically say, accept my sin. And of course, that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about compassion. When we're talking about compassion, we're just talking about the love that we have for God being manifested through our lives to those around us, so that they see God's love in and through us. And just like Paul said in Romans 12:1, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And the question for us is, do we still have a desire to see the people around us saved? Do we still have a compassion for, you know, that guy at our job who might ridicule us or give us a hard time day after day after day? Do we still have compassion for the neighbor that we've invited to church time after time and still won't come? Do we have compassion for the people that we see on a daily basis, whether it's at the grocery or the bank or the post office or wherever it might be? Are we concerned about their soul? Because these characteristics that we're going to look at quickly all are based on that compassion, that love. And so the first thing I want us to look at this morning is that a mission-minded church proclaims the word. A mission-minded church proclaims the word. We read verse 1. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And then it goes on to list those men. And I want you to remember real quick, the church that we're looking at this morning is the church at Antioch. You know, this was a special church. From the very beginning, this was a church completely different from the church at Jerusalem. You know, we look at the first part of Acts and we see the explosive growth that the church at Jerusalem experienced. We see how God was working. But for the most part there in Jerusalem, that church was made up of Jews who had been saved, who had come to Christ. But when you look at the church at Antioch, it was a multicultural, diverse, international kind of church. Go back with me just maybe a page in your Bible to Acts chapter 11. Acts 11. We'll read here about the start of this church at Antioch, and starting in verse 19. Acts 11:19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And so we got two verses here, preaching. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So when we're talking about this church, obviously we see here that disciples were called Christians first where? At Antioch. And so this church that we're looking at was a different church, had a different kind of makeup than the church at Jerusalem. But one characteristic that we see not only of the church at Jerusalem, but this church at Antioch, was that they were preaching, they were proclaiming the word of God. And, you know, this might go against what we hear today in our world, but a mission-minded church will proclaim the truth of God's word. A mission-minded church will continue to preach God's word. Why? Because that is the most compassionate, most loving thing we can do for our community and for the people around us, is to give them the truth of God's word. It's not to back down. It's not to say, okay, we're going to give in and just give people what they want to hear. No, it's to continue in the truth of God's word. It's continue proclaiming the word of God. Because it's through the word of God that people are saved. Paul said in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so if we're going to be mission-minded, we have to continue in the truth of God's word. And that's what I believe we see the example of the church at Antioch. In Romans 13, in Acts 13, Saul, Barnabas, the other men, they were prophets and teachers. So they were preaching and teaching the word of God. And this church at Antioch was started by what? By people going, preaching, teaching God's word. And of course, that was based on the love and the compassion that they had for the people around them. You think of this church at Antioch. Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. It was the third most important city in the Roman Empire, with a population of they think, almost 500,000 people. So this was an important city, a diverse city, and we don't find Barnabas and others of the disciples and Paul here. We don't see them saying, okay, well, we've got to change what we're doing. We've got to give in to the culture, and we've got to give these people what they want to hear. No, what we see them doing is reaching people through God's word, proclaiming God's word. And again, I believe this is one of the most loving, compassionate things we can do for people around us, is to just give them the truth of God's word. You know, as was mentioned in Sunday school, the Sunday school hour, the world's changed around us, but God's word hasn't changed. And while our world might say, okay, there is no objective truth, there is no absolute truth, we know that this is absolute truth. We know that this is objective truth. It's not subjected to our feelings and to what we think, rather to what God has given us here in His Word. And so this is what men need to be saved. Not for us to cave in, not for us to say it's not worth it, not for us to somehow water down our doctrine, but to continue in this truth of God's Word, to continue preaching and teaching what God says in His Word. And this is the first characteristic, to proclaim the truth of God's Word here. That's what these men were doing. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. Preaching and giving God's Word. And you look at the example that Peter gives in the first part of Acts and the other apostles. What did they do? Did they back down when the Sanhedrin said, stop preaching in Jesus' name? No, they continued preaching in Jesus' name. Peter continued in at the end of Acts 2 and in Acts 3 and Acts 4 and even in Acts 5, he continued pointing people to Christ. But he didn't back down. He in each one of those chapters, he says, you sinned. You slew Jesus. You crucified him. You need to repent of your sins. You need to have faith. And we see that message all throughout the book of Acts, and especially that first part here where, with Peter there, and then now with Barnabas and Paul. They gave that same message. And that's what we need to preach to those around us. Our world doesn't want to hear that Jesus is the only way to heaven. People don't want to hear that they can't do something to get themselves to heaven. People don't want to hear about their sin. Of course, you and I, you know, we don't even want to hear about our sin. But it doesn't mean that we stop preaching it. It doesn't mean that we say, okay, you can do what you want and get to heaven. It doesn't mean that just because people don't want to hear that there's only one God and He sent His Son to this earth to save us, that we stop and say, yeah, Buddha will get you to heaven, or Muhammad, or some other way. No, because there's only one way, and we have that one way, and we have that truth that we have to give to those around us. And so this morning I want to encourage you to remember, a mission-minded church proclaims the Word. But what we see here, something else I want us to see here, is that a mission-minded church proactively serves. A mission-minded church proclaims the Word, but it also proactively serves. Look at verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so that word ministered, it speaks of being a public servant. Being a public servant. These men, this church, they were proactively serving. You know, they weren't waiting for opportunities to come to them. No, they were going out and they were ministering to those around them. And, you know, we all know that Jesus set this example for us. In Mark 10:45, He said, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And we know that Jesus was our example. He taught His disciples to serve. You know, in John chapter 13, when Jesus was going to the cross, He took a towel, He took a bowl of water, and He washed His disciples' feet. He served them. And He gave an example. He said in verse 15, He says, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. As Christians, we need to be serving not only those in our local congregation, but our communities and those around us. And again, it's compassion that motivates us to find ways to serve. You know, I know that this church is mission-minded. I know that this church proclaims God's word. I know that this church is serving the community around it. But the question is, are you? Are you mission-minded? Are you proclaiming God's word to those around you? Are you seeking ways to actively serve in your community and the people around you? And of course, you know, that starts here with the ministries here in your local church and finding ways to serve God through your church and through the different ministries that you have. But, you know, that old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's more true today than it ever has been. Because we live in a type of society that doesn't just want to, they really don't care what comes out of our mouth. Now again, that doesn't mean we stop proclaiming God's word, but we have to back up what we're proclaiming with service, with ways that we show the love of God to those around us. And part of that is finding ways that we can serve. And so I wonder when the last time is you've just looked at the needs around your neighborhood. Maybe you've looked at the needs even at your work, your place of work, or at your school, or in your community and thought, okay, what's a way that I can show these people around me God's love? How can I serve this person so that they see the love of Christ in me? You know, that's not easy to do because we live in a society that says, you look out for number one first. You take care of yourself and then worry about everyone else. But also, you see, our society's changing. I heard the other day that the number one resolution now in America is to be a good person. Normally, losing weight is the number one resolution for the year, but now it's to try to be a good person. You know, that's good that people want to be a good person, but you all know what's behind that, right? Our society wants to be morally good without adhering to God's good, to what God says is good, and without justification through faith in Christ Jesus. And so we can speak into that. We can, you know, people want to be good. We can speak into that. We can be servants to them and show them, okay, Christianity is not just about proclaiming God's word, but it's also about serving those around us. Jesus told his disciples when they were fighting over who's going to be first in the kingdom, he said, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And so one of the questions for us this morning is, okay, how can we serve? And then once we identify how we can serve those around us, are we doing it? And is our motive so that they see Christ in us, so that we can give them the gospel? And then one other thing I want us to see this morning is that a mission-minded church propagates the gospel. So it proclaims the gospel. It's proactively serving, but it propagates. And you know, proclaiming is part of propagating the gospel, but it's also sending. It's going and it's sending. Here in verse 2, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And verse 3, it says, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Here we see that this church at Antioch, they sent their best to the mission field. Their compassion for those around them would not let them be selfish. Now, I look at this from my viewpoint. You know, I'm thinking of the church in Peru there at Faith Baptist, and I'm thinking, okay, if I have a Paul and a Barnabas in my church, there's no way I'm going to let go of those guys. I mean, we're talking about Paul and Barnabas. Who's going to want to let those two guys go? What are we going to do? We're going to find ways for them to serve right there in our local congregation, right? We're going to say, no, there's plenty of ministry for you to do right here. There's no need for you to go to the nations. Do it right here. And, you know, it reminds me of my mom, even. When I knew the Lord was calling me to missions, and then Becca and I knew God was calling us to Peru. Well, you know, I remember my mom saying, you know, there's plenty of Spanish speakers right here in the United States. And you know, that's true. It is, but that's not where God had called us. I remember when my brother was, he's a missionary in Turkey. And when he was surrendering, when God had called him to Turkey, my mom said the same thing to him. She said, well, you know, there's Muslims here in the United States that you can minister to as well. And, you know, we have that tendency where we want to serve God and we want to propagate the gospel. We want to be that, we want to go, but maybe not quite as far as God wants us to go. And this morning I just want to challenge you in this new year. Decide that you're going to go as far as God wants you to go. Don't stop. You know, every time that we meet, every time that we go out the doors of the congregation, of our local church there, we're being sent. We're going. And so we have to remember that we live on mission. We're on mission. And therefore, we give God's word to those around us. You know, the need hasn't decreased over the years. As we heard in at Sunday school, it's increased more and more and more, not just here in America, but around the world. I think of William Carey, the father of modern missions. He was trying to raise up awareness that they needed to go to the nations. And he said, is not the commission of our Lord still binding for us? Can we not do more than what we are doing now? And what he said 300 years ago, or over 300 years ago, rings true even now. There's so much more for us to do. And there's so much more that we can do for missions. And so this morning I want to encourage you, propagate the gospel. Why? Not out of obligation, but out of your love for God, out of the love that you have for Him and for the souls around you. You know, I look at these verses that we read, and the church at Antioch, it says they fasted, they prayed, they laid their hands on them. So they were involved in the sending of Paul and Barnabas. They didn't just, I don't believe that this was a church that just said goodbye, wiped their hands of them, and said, okay, you guys take care. No, they were involved. Much to like what you all are doing as well. You know, not everyone's called to Peru. Not everyone's called to the Philippines. Not everyone's called to just anywhere in this world. But churches like you partner with missionaries like us so that we can go in your place to those places. God sends us. But that doesn't mean that He doesn't want you to go. Even this very afternoon, to your own community and to your families and to the people around you. So remember, we're every day we're being sent. We're to go and we're to send. Romans 10:13, Paul said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Of course, we know that verse. But immediately after that verse, he gives the challenge. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's where we come in to play. That's where God wants to use us to proclaim His word
to serve, to go. And this process begins right there with compassion and love. First, the compassion and love that we have for God, and then the compassion that we have for those around us. So a mission-minded church, it's going to proclaim the truth of God's word. It's going to be proactively serving, and it will propagate the gospel. And, you know, I know these are basic things that we've looked at this morning, but these are things that I just want to challenge you in this coming year as we're, 12 days into a new year. What more can we do? What more can I do? Because as I said, I know this church is mission-minded. The question is, are you personally? Has your love for souls diminished? Has it waned? Has your love for God been stifled? Can you say, Lord, I love you as much as I did the very day you saved me even more, but I want to love you more and I want to love the people around me more? Let's pray, and I'll turn the service over to Pastor. Our Heavenly Father, Lord,